Praise God. God is good. Amen. It's hour of power. That means I know how long I've got to preach. Thank you for that rousing burst of silence. The jokes aren't going to get any better. I know. I've been telling them for a long time. I told somebody one time that my jokes are older than my granny's foot and twice as corny. And my grandmother was there. I said, the other grandma. Praise God. Any of y'all who laughed at that, repent. I want to continue talking about a subject I started a couple of times ago. One of the things I love about pastoring is you don't have to be in a hurry about teaching something. And with the way that things are now, with the avenues that we have to go back and listen to teaching, and thank God for technology. Amen, that we can go back and listen to stuff and we can watch stuff over. And so you can teach in a series. If you're on a pastoral staff somewhere, you don't have to get everything out in one message. You can just go, you know, teach part of it and then come back to it and just pick it up. You know, just put everything on pause and come back. And then folks that aren't here, they can go back if they want to, and they can listen to those things, and so that's always nice. And so it just seemed good to continue along this same line. If you hadn't been here, the teaching is available. It was on a Sunday evening and on a Wednesday that I taught on this, but it's a subject that I'm calling Be Spirit-Led Instead, and it was birthed out of like a lot of messages that, you know, I'll be dealing with something in my own life and the Lord will just give me some revelation about something. And I was really working hard in my own intellect to figure out a situation in my life. How many of you have ever done that? You relied on what you know to make your decisions. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do this and this will fix this. And I'm going to do this. Nothing wrong with having intellect. I mean, I'm real thankful for what I got. Sorry. But we've got something more than just intellect. We can be, and this is how the Lord said it to me, how he framed it to me when I was trying to figure this all out. I was processing what I was going to do in this situation. And I just heard these words, why not be spirit-led instead? And I thought, well, that's a novel idea. Why not just be spirit-led instead? You know, some people are more spirit-led than others are. I mean, thank God we're born of the Spirit. Thank God if you're filled with the Spirit. If not, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm from the South and I like tea. It's like if somebody asked me if I wanted a glass of tea and they only fill it halfway up. You know, half a glass of tea is good, but isn't a full glass of tea better? You know, if you could have a half of something or you could have more, I'll take more. Nobody ever says, I want less ribs when they're barbecuing. Do you? I'll take yours too. If we can have more, but if we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, it's the same as, honestly, it's a different subject, but it's the same with the love of God. To be, for the Holy Spirit to bring the love of God, Romans 5:5, poured into our hearts, and for us to not live out of the love of God, really? I mean, then you would be living subpar, substandard, right? But what happens is when you have access in unlimited, but you don't walk in the fullness of something, that's what we refer to as self-imposed limitation. Where I just got an e-bike recently. Anybody, like, if I pass you at 25 miles an hour, just mind your business. It's a pedal assist. So I have to pedal at the same time that the motor is working. And so, you know, I'm still getting exercise, all right? I can almost smell the judgment. But that e-bike is helping me to get exercise. But the other day I was riding it. First of all, I'm going to tell you that I was a little offended by two kids on electric scooters who were going faster than me. So I cranked it up. And I went past them like they were standing still. And I don't feel bad about it. But I was going up a hill the other day. I was testing the bike out. And I had it in, it's got three levels on the motor that's on there. And I was pedaling on level one. And I started going up a hill. And I kicked it into two. And that still wasn't enough for me. I mean, it was a big hill. I mean, I know what you look at me and you're like, but you're so buff. And you'd be accurate in thinking that. But it was more than my legs could handle. I hadn't been riding a bike much lately. And so I looked around and there was nobody around to see me crank it up to number three. So I cranked it up to number three. But while I was doing that, I realized really that's like people receiving guidance from the Holy Spirit. Some people are walking around cranked up to about one. Or maybe they'll kick it up to about two. But there's more. There's more capacity. There's more engine left. There's more motor that you can crank in. So if you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, it's not because he's withholding information from us. We just haven't cranked it up. Right? And oftentimes what we do is we make decisions based on other things. And so for one of the things that we said is this, we said to you, our scripture text is Romans 8:14, which says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we told you, you know that word sons there? Sons and daughters, certainly, but it means the maturing ones. People who are maturing are being led by the Spirit of God. There's a level of living that as believers that we can have where we are making our decisions based on specifically what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and we're moving and operating at a level in our lives that people who don't allow the Spirit of God to direct their path are missing out on. And we said this, we said that we should be Spirit-led. Our first point was that we should be Spirit-led instead of being led by externals. And we read to you from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which you know that scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. And we said, we read to you 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk based on what we know in our hearts to do rather than externals. We should. Because the enemy can work in externals. Right? You know, Lord, I'll move if I get three phone calls before 10 a.m. There are better ways to make decisions than that. Right? Externals are not the way that you and I ought to be making decisions. We have to make a decision. Are we going to be led by things that are happening around us or what God is saying within us? And we said this to you. We said God is leading based on what he knows. When I was on that bike ride the other day, I was on a bike trail out by the college near where I live towards Coweta. There's this bike trail that it goes a lot farther than I took it. But while I was riding it, there were a couple of curves and it said blind curve ahead. And it meant that I couldn't see what was coming around. So y'all are really gonna laugh now. My bike's got a little horn on it. You know, you'd be impressed really if you saw me on it. I know you would. I came around that corner and I honked my little horn because I didn't know what was on the other side of that thing. I don't know what that was gonna do. Hey, I'm about to hit you and I just want to let you know. Beep beep. But in our lives, there are corners or curves that you don't know what's around them in the natural. But how many of you know God knows things we don't know? He knows what's around the next bend. And so the decisions that we should make shouldn't be based on externals. It ought to be based on what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, because he knows stuff that we don't know. And we don't always have to know what we don't know. Isn't that right? I told the story about how I was buying tickets to go on a flight, and every time I would try to go through one city, I kept getting a check. And so I ended up, I put it to the side, and I kept going back to it. I finally just said, okay, I can't get past this. I'm going to go through this other city. And people have asked me when I've told that story over the years, well, what happened? Nothing, glory to God. It's what could have happened that I avoided that matters. You know, because you think, oh, could it have been a plane crash? I suppose it could have been. I didn't hear about a plane crashing. But it could have been a layover that would have delayed me from where I was going. I didn't need to know what was going on. I just needed to know that that wasn't the direction that I was supposed to go. But don't be led by external things. If you're led by external things, you'll end up making errors in judgment. Because of the things, the unknown that you don't know that God does know, I remember, to help you illustrate this point, I remember there was a time when the first church I pastored, we had a bunch of equipment at that church, and I wanted to get rid of the equipment that we weren't going to use, and I was going to sell it off, like a bunch of music equipment stuff, so I could get the things that we would use sooner. Like, for instance, we had, now I love an organ, but we had an organ with a Leslie, and if you don't know what that is, that's that big box that sits next to the organ that, you know, has that vibrato sound. Sounds real good. I like it. Get back here with an organ and play it behind me. Well, I'll get going. But I wasn't going to find an organ player at my little country church out there where I was at, so I didn't need that organ. I actually, when I sold it, those Leslies are worth more than the organ was, really. But I sold a bunch of stuff, and I bought a set of drums because we needed a worship band. And I, you know, I like drums too, and I'm like, we're going to believe God for our drummer. And so I bought these drums, and I put them up there, and I would, you know, it's just like the scripture says, write the vision. I had the drums back there, and I'd remind my church about them. I'd be like, there's our drums. Believe God with me for our drummer. That's our drums. See them? They're nice. They look good. Well, I was believing God for a drummer. A guy that I knew came to my church, and he visited one time, and he heard me making my announcement. And he came to me after service, and he said, I'm your drummer. And I knew he could play drums. I mean, he could play drums, I mean, like he was shelling corn. Man, that dude would just go all over those drums. So when he told me that, I said, he came twice because he came the next week. I said, glory to God, we have our drummer. And I said, brother, would you come up here? And this is what I said, country like squirrel gravy. I say something sometimes, I was like, why don't you get up here and hit him a lick? And he did, man. He got on them things and he beat them like the drumming you heard tonight. Man, that was good, right? When he was double tapping on that big drum a while ago, glory to God. But he played drums like, never showed up at my church again. Never came back. I wasn't led. He could just play drums and I put him up on the platform. And that was dumb. What if I'd have been led instead? Well, I wouldn't have had to get up 3 or 4 weeks later when people are asking where our drummer went. I couldn't say the rapture. I was still there. But you can't be led by external stuff because you make mistakes. We make mistakes when we look at externals because it, for all intents and purposes, I knew this man was saved. I knew he was Holy Ghost filled. I knew he could play drums. He was at my church and he was telling me he was willing to. It was in the natural, it was a yes, a yes, a yes, and a yes. It just wasn't an amen. It was an all man. We can't be led by external stuff, right? We said this to you, we should be led instead of needing it all to make sense. And we looked at 2 Kings 5:10 there and we talked about Elisha when Naaman came and Elisha told him to go dip in the river, and he said, we got better rivers back home, you remember? Well, the anointing wasn't on the river back home. The anointing was what the prophet said. And just because something doesn't make sense to our natural mind is no indication that God's not in it. Things don't have to make sense to our natural mind, and if we're not careful, we'll allow our natural minds to talk us out of things that we get in our heart because it doesn't make sense to us. There are places, I remember when the Lord called us to come to Rhema. There were lots of places that had Bible schools between where I lived in Paducah, Kentucky, and Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Lots of places I could go. Some of them would have made sense in the natural because they were closer. I could have kept the same job I had. I could have kept doing what I was doing. But the connections that God made for me when I came here, how many of you got that kind of story? You came here because the Lord called you here, and the connections that you've made in your life and in your ministry, because you did that, even when it would have made more sense, there were people who tried to talk me out of it. Well-meaning people that I loved, that were telling me, well, you know, you're already preaching, or you know, you got a good job here. Why would you take your family out to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma? They didn't see those mountains on the Passage to Purpose VHS tape that I saw. I said, I'm going out there because there's mountains. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. They couldn't see what I saw because the Lord had spoken something to my heart. And it was a supernatural occurrence. The Lord spoke it to not only to me, but to my wife separately, and we came out here. It didn't make sense to do that. But things don't always have to make sense for us to follow God. Don't make whether or not things process correctly or make sense to our minds be the determining factor. Why not be led instead? Amen. There are going to be times where God tells us things that don't make sense. He'll tell us to stay when we want to leave. And when somebody tells you, oh, there's a great job over here, you ought to just come over here, you could get paid twice as much. Well, if all it takes to get us to move out of the will of God is twice as much money, well, then the enemy will just use twice as much money every time he needs us to make a move. Even if it doesn't make sense. What's the Spirit of God saying? What's he speaking to me? Then the last place that we looked at, I want to finish up tonight, is this. We said, be Spirit-led, and knowing that our provision is in the place that God leads. And the scripture that we started looking at was in 1 Kings 17. This is the story of Elijah, beginning with verse 3, where it says this. It says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Verse 8 says, then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Notice he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. He said, go to Sidon. I've commanded there a widow to provide for you. Verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour and a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So he went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry. What a supernatural occurrence. Glory to God. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. But you understand this, though. It's interesting that he didn't tell him to go just anywhere to get fed by the birds. And when Elijah went where the Spirit of God told him to go, when he got there, the birds fed him. And then when the Lord said, now I want you to go down to Sidon, there's a widow there, that he sustained him there with that widow. But it was at that place where he was calling him to go that the provision was made for him. And the thing I want you to notice about this is, if you and I are being led by where the provisions are supposedly at, we'll find ourselves in trouble. It wasn't the provisions that Elijah was chasing. It was the place that God was calling him to. Following God is not about getting to the place where there's an abundance of provision. I remember when I came here, I've told this story before, God made me mad. I asked him what the economy was like. When I was thinking about moving here for the very first time as a student, I was trying to ask, you know, smart questions because I had a family. And I said, hey, what's the economy like? What's the job market like in Broken Arrow? And he said, what do you care? And I thought that was rude. But then he followed that up with, if God is calling you here, how many jobs do you need? And that was smart. That was wisdom. If God is calling us to do something, it's not, what do I need to sustain me? Lots of times people want to make a move. Now, I'm not telling you to not use your intellect, but I'm telling you don't use your intellect to get you off course from listening to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Our intellect should be secondary to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Because it won't all, remember we said this to you, it won't always make sense. And if we just go by our intellect, when we are finite beings that don't know everything, it can add up on paper. But God is saying that's not the thing. It didn't make sense to go to a widow who was going to make a cake and her and her son were going to eat it and die. That sounds desperate. It's like all we got, you know, today's modern vernacular, she's like, I'm going to split a sandwich with my son and we're going to starve to death. That's the situation this lady's in. But I find it very interesting that God didn't only meet Elijah's needs in that place called there, but he met her needs as well. Which means this then, that there are people that are dependent on you and I being in the place that we're called to be because they need what we bring, the same as we need what God is giving us while we're there. Isn't that right? So if we chase the provision, what will the enemy do? He'll always have us chasing provision. You should move to Dallas because Dallas, the job market is really good and the housing market is great. I don't know if it is or not. This is not thus saith. The job market is great. This is the place that you should go. It all makes sense on paper. But God is saying that I want you to move to Nebraska. And you're like, Lord, I don't know anybody in Nebraska. Well, the anointing for what God is calling us to and the sustenance we need is not in Dallas. You can go to Dallas and there can be jobs everywhere and starve to death. When God is calling us to do something else, oftentimes I think what we end up doing is we want God to bless what we are doing as opposed to His plan. Hey, God, I know you said you want me to go over here, but what I'd prefer is that you just take all the blessings that you have for me and move them over to this path, because what we're saying is I feel like I know better. I feel like, Lord, I know you know everything, but you know, the job market, you probably forgot about that. Do you think God is concerned about the job market if He's calling you to something? Or will He make a way that can sustain you and whoever it is, whoever the widow is that He's asking to bake you a cake? Amen. The place that God is calling us to is, Lord, where do you want me? What would you have me do? It's the same thing with, you remember the story of Abram when he said, get out of your country and away from your kin to a land that I'll show you and I'll make of you a great nation. When did he say he would make of him a great nation? When he got out of his country and away from his kin to a land that he showed him. There was provision in the place that God was taking him to. What if we were to be led instead? Just said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'm going to do what you want me to do. God told Elijah, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Not everywhere, just there. Some people are asking, you know, why isn't it working? And the Lord is saying, I told you where to be, and I told you who to connect with, and I told you what steps to take. And if you'll just go there, you'll find that everything that I've got for you. Man, when I came here as a student at Rhema, that's been, I don't know, like, 40 pounds ago now. When I came here, when we left, we looked on paper and we didn't even make enough money to pay our bills. But every bill was paid while we were here. Everything we needed. And yeah, Sarah had to go to jail for a little while. No, I'm just kidding. I just want to make sure you're awake. I was joking, girl. You know, I was just playing. Y'all are going to get me in trouble. We didn't have to do nothing illegal. We were just where God said to be. And debts would get canceled. Bills would get paid. Stuff was taken care of. Why? Because the anointing on our lives to do what God had called us to do was where God called us to be. And it's no small aside that other people are ministered to by you being there. God will move you into places to help people in answer to prayer. You can be led in every area of your life, whatever you're doing. I remember this one time. I was pastoring a little church in a town called Mound City, Illinois. Down, way down south in Illinois. And I genuinely, I love people. People are just, thank God I'm called the pastor, because it's just helping people, being around people. I just love folks, especially folks who buy me ice cream. And my, no, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. I'm on a diet. Sorry. But this side, in the church that we ministered, like where we ministered, that first church we pastored, there were a lot of people in our area who dealt with substance abuse problems. And so we would help lots of people with substance abuse problems. And when you're helping somebody who is dealing with substance abuse in any kind of way, be it drugs or alcohol, lots of times there will be relapse because they're learning to deal with their flesh and keeping their flesh under. They've allowed their flesh to dominate them for so long, and their mind has worked in operation, their soul and their flesh working together, that there are times where they will move backwards. And so you just help them through those things, and you teach them the right stuff. You get their spirit man built up. You help them so that they can overcome. Well, we would have people that would leave our church, and I genuinely loved them, and you wanted to help them, but then when they would leave, they would be ashamed, and they would hide from you. The number of times, I'm thinking about one guy in particular, that he was ducking and dodging me, because I'd spent a lot of time investing in him. We would go, he was in a recovery home, and my family, on the weekends, he would get a weekend pass, and so I would go pick him up. And they would only allow them to leave if they had a pastoral sponsor. And so I would go pick him up, and I would take him with my family to watch my son play basketball. When my son was a little bitty, we would just make him feel normal, make him feel like he wasn't, you know, stuck in that place and wasn't addicted for a while. But when he relapsed, he was dodging me, hiding from me. I couldn't find him anywhere. And I was driving home from church one night. I'd been looking for him, calling his family. And I was on my way home one night. And right on the inside, the Spirit of God said, if you'll go by this hotel, you'll find him. And I almost didn't go because, you know, there's a lot of rooms in a hotel. And I wasn't thinking I'm going to go knocking on doors. But I drove to that hotel. And I went around the back. And as soon as I came around the back, my headlights hit that dude walking down the stairs. And he looked at the front of my car and he saw my face and I saw his face. And I was able to minister to him even though he was hiding. Why? Because God put me in a place because he cared about that man. Isn't that right? The same thing happened with another guy ducking and dodging me. He was not on drugs. He was on alcohol. And it was fun. It's interesting how people will, the Lord will do something for them and bring things. This guy in particular, he needed a car. And he had gotten into the church, gotten born again, and he was believing God for a car. And we just called in a car. We said, Lord, we thank you. He needs a car so he can get to work. We thank you that you're meeting that need. And somebody provided a car for that man, gave it to him. It needed a carburetor, and he fixed the carburetor for him, paid for it, put tires on it, and gave him this car. Well, once he started tasting some good life, all of a sudden he started wanting to taste the Miller High Life. And he started drinking again. And he stopped coming to church. And I couldn't find him anywhere. And I was driving home one night, and I was praying about him. And the Lord said, if you'll go over to where I knew where he lived, if you'll go over there, he said, you'll find him tonight. I had been to his house multiple times. And he must have had a clapper or something on his television, because every time I would knock, the TV would go off. I'd rather think it was on a clapper than he was turning it off so that I didn't know he was there. But he wouldn't answer the door. I couldn't get him to come to me. I wasn't going to beat him over the head with his mistakes. I just wanted to love on him. Just wanted to encourage him. Wanted to tell him, should you decide that you want help, we're available. I was going home one night. It was late. We lived an hour from where our church was that we pastored. It was a long way out of the way. But I told Sarah what I was getting in my heart. I feel like if I go by there, the Lord's telling me that I'll be able to find him. Pulled in there, and there he was, throwing back a beer, sitting on a park bench. I hadn't been able to find him for weeks. But God knew. And God knew he needed help. So the Spirit of God, if we'll learn to listen to the Spirit of God, just like this widow, it won't always be just about you being in the right place, although that's very important. It'll be about other people that God is trying to reach, and he needs someone to say yes to him when he tells them, I want you to go to such and such place. I want you to go here, and I want you to say these things. And if we'll learn to be led instead of looking at externals, what makes sense to us, if we'll learn to be led instead, the Spirit of God will lead us right across the paths of people who need what God has for them. There are people that will be at Walmart when you leave here that are going to need something that you can provide. At a restaurant where you're eating, where you work. But if we're never listening on the inside, if everything that we do, if every decision is made out of our intellect instead of out of our spirit, we'll miss opportunities to reach people. Folks are asking all the time, Lord, I just want you to use me. I just want you to. But if we'll listen, he'll guide us into places where people need what we have. And, you know, you want to pretend sometimes like, you know, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're a preacher or this. Well, I've been a dipstick. And even when I was a dipstick, I made a decision that if I could learn to hear from God, that he would be able to use me and he'd be able to sustain me and my family and take care of us. I just had to learn to hear from him. And he's not, he didn't make it a secret. The scripture tells us in John, Jesus told us time and again the things that the Holy Spirit would do. He said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. Isn't that what he said? One of the same sort, another helper. He'll guide us into all truth, the scripture says. He'll show us things to come. All of us who have the Spirit of God on the inside, we could be led instead. I only got like 3 minutes. I don't need much lead to know that we're done at 8 o'clock. Pastor Hagin already told me, so I don't. Glory to God. Let me see. We're going to find a stopping point here. Are you okay with that? If we stop looking for things that we have need of and focus instead on where God needs us, it'll make a difference if we'll be led instead. The scripture says this in Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So evidently, those things that we need, God knows that we have need of them. And he said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things will be added to us. So if we're not chasing things, we're following after God, the things that we need will overtake us. Isn't that right? Seeking first means this. When he says seek first, that means making it a priority. It's putting God's way of doing things at the top of our lives, first in decision making, first in time, and first in our trust. We say, the thing that's at the top of my list is seeking first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. God, what do you want? And if we're not asking that question, we could be missing it. God, what do you want? If we sat down and we were just spending time in the presence of the Lord and we said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What can I do for you? What can I do for the kingdom? As much as, you know, I said this a while ago, I love people. As much as I love people, as much as I want to see people born again, you know, God loves them way more than me. He sent Jesus. The Holy Spirit's way more interested in getting people born again than I am. I'm real interested in it. But the Holy Ghost is a lot more interested in it than when the scripture tells us the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and he has long patience for it. You know, I realized this, that the only reason he has to have patience is because it takes laborers to get into the fields. Isn't that right? When the harvest is ready, it requires laborers, and we're the only ones that are given that responsibility. So if the husbandman waiteth, I don't know who else he's waiting on. Who's he waiting on? I realized one day he was waiting on me. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? And so from that point, I've endeavored in my life to say, I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to do what he wants me to do. There are lots of things I could be doing, but I'd rather be led instead. I want to be led by your Spirit, Lord. I want you to take me across the path of people who need you. I want you to take me in the path that you have for my life. I want you to take me on the path that will produce the best result so that when I go and I stand before you, I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, well. So we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We're going to unplug right here. How do we live like that consistently, though? How do we become more Spirit-led instead? The first way to do that, maybe the next time we talk to you, we'll talk about this. We need to be Spirit-led instead by learning to follow the inward witness. Learning to be more in tune with what God is saying in here than everything else, every other voice that we hear. Amen? Amen. We better stop right there. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the truth of it. I endeavored to get everything out, Lord, that you would have me to say tonight. Lord, I believe that there are people here who needed to hear some of these things, Lord, helping us to strengthen ourselves and establish us in our faith. Lord, I pray that the people that are here tonight that heard this message would make a decision in their own lives that they'd rather be Spirit-led instead. Instead of anything else that they could be doing, instead of following some other voice, instead of making their decisions based on some external circumstance, based on the needs they have in their lives, that they would choose to be Spirit-led instead. Consecrate and dedicate themselves to hearing from you more fully, walking with you in a deeper way, Lord, than ever before. Understanding, Lord, that though we understand that the time is short, there are still people whose lives hang in the balance. We want a purpose in our own lives and in our hearts to determine, Lord, that the most important thing is to say yes to what you would have us to do. And Lord, we're asking the question, what do you want us to do today? What do you have for me to do today? We thank you for your faithfulness to us all, for your love, your goodness, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to give an invitation. If you're watching online right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus came for you the same as he came for us. God sent his Son to die on the cross for you. And the Bible tells us this, that all we have to do is believe that Jesus came. He died for our sins, and then he rose again. If you'll believe on him, and you'll confess your sins, and ask him to come into your life, you'll be a different person. And I'm speaking to you online or anybody in this room. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can know him tonight. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you can't say with 100% assurance that if you left the earth, that you'd go to heaven. I can tell you because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life that I am 100% sure that if I leave this earth, I'm going to heaven. And if you can't say with 100% assurance that you'd go to heaven if you left here, then you need to make sure that you have a no-so experience. you need to call on him. When we dismiss tonight, when we leave, these are all altar care workers here. We have our ladies on this side and the men are on this side. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when we leave and we exit the building, I want you to come down here and I want them to pray with you so that you'll know Jesus as your Savior. If you need a know-so experience, or you've never, I've been talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's an endowment of power. The scripture promises it's for all of us, for everyone who's born again. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can do that before you leave tonight. When we leave, I want you to come down here and they'll pray for you. The only thing I ask is if you're a man, you come over here with the men, the ladies, you come to the ladies, but don't leave here without knowing that you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Don't leave here without knowing that you've got this full assurance of the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you have that desire this evening. We love you. We're believing God's best for you. Pray for our pastors while they're traveling. I know they're gonna have open door of utterance. It's going to be good, the testimonies that we're going to hear. We love and appreciate you guys so much. Gentlemen, is there anything else? Sunday, be back here. God bless you. Love on your church family before you leave. Bye-bye.